Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, Ross, it's match day. It's no normal match day. Is it a normal match day?
I don't think any game is normal this season for Union, let's be honest about it. But as I was telling you off the podcast, that the anticipation has grown quite a lot in the last week.
Has it crept up on you a bit?
Yeah, it has. Well, because for the last week, we've been focused on Bayern Munich away, and then we played in the cup game against Freiburg on Tuesday, which we won. First time in 6 years in the last 16, so okay. It's quite an achievement. So really, it's only been since like Wednesday where we've actually thought, oh my God, we're playing a Hertha game. First Bundesliga derby between the two teams. Of course, not the first derby between any team in Berlin or whatever, but it's certainly caught the attention of the city, that's for sure, which is quite unusual for Berlin.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit like London in that sense. You think of London that has like 10 professional teams, but you could quite happily go about your life in London and not notice that there's any football because it's a genuine global metropolis.
It's exactly the same in Berlin. My impression was always that football never really caught the psyche of a city like Berlin. Whereas if you go to, okay, even Munich or Dortmund or whatever, it's like one club city where everyone lives and breathes that club. In Berlin, there are teams, and it does have a huge history. Berlin's football goes all the way back before the war, and it was like one of the first cities to catch on to football. But really, in the last, so it's really ever since the wall came down. You've had one team that's been quite dominant without having that much success and without really capturing the imagination of the people. I think the stadium's a big part of it for Hertha. But in the last couple of years, Union's become almost like a fairy tale story just because of the fact that it's an underdog story, essentially. And now you have a situation where, I mean, certainly if you look through the press in the last couple of days, I mean, you're getting like 7, 8, 9, 10 pages on this game, which I think for a general Bundesliga game is quite unusual.
Yeah, and I suppose like when you talk about a sort of gap in the hearts of football fans for a football story in Berlin, there is an opportunity, isn't there, for Union? Because, funnily enough, writing my column for The Guardian about the Bundesliga, you'll always get people going, why didn't you mention this? Why didn't you write about my team? Which is normal. I totally get that. No one ever does that about Hertha, really, because they're a club that is a big club with a big stadium, but they've struggled to capture the imagination and really raise people's spirits. And the Union story is way different, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, especially a lot of the sort of off-field things about Union are quite curious to, I think, international people. You have the Christmas carols in December, which has gone on now for, 15, 16, 17 years. You have the fact that fans were donating blood to the state. The state were giving them money, and then they were donating the money to the club. The fans built their own stadium. I mean, I don't really want to compare it to other clubs because it's not really an Union thing to compare yourself to Dortmund or Schalke or whatever, right? But a lot of the off-field things, I think, really unique to Union. I don't think you can come to an Union game and just think, oh my God, we've got 90 minutes of a game here. Everything else that's going around the stadium, the standing sections, how close it is to the pitch, the beer, cheapest in the league, all of these things are just...
That is important.
It's really important, yeah. Yeah, we were celebrating top of the league for the cheapest beer, so I think that may be the achievement of the season so far. But, I mean, the only one thing I think is just a totally complete story. Obviously, it's hard to ignore the East-West thing. I mean, I know it's the done thing to say, you know, you have two clubs in one city, but I mean, if you look at Union as a club, it's getting its support largely from the East, and Hertha's without doubt largely getting its support from the West, and that crossover hasn't really happened yet. I don't know how that will develop in the next 15, 20 years when Union has a bigger stadium, Union has more members than Hertha, how that dynamic will play out. I mean, Hertha's still trying to get a new stadium themselves, and I think, like you say, one of the big things about them not capturing the imagination is the stadium. They get 40, 45,000 people every week. I mean, they've played in the Champions League, they've played in European competitions, but for some reason there's just something maybe not there that is attractive, like Mönchengladbach or St. Pauli.
Noticeable, isn't it, in a league where it's really all about atmosphere, it's all really about like adrenaline, proximity to the crowd. They're kind of fettered by the fact that, you know, to fill that stadium is an enormous effort, and it's not really a football stadium, it's a long way from the pitch. Now it's very opposite here. I had this feeling when I got off the tram on the way here, and of course I did think about reunification as well, because they had a stack of free magazines on the tram, and David Hasselhoff was on the front of them, so obviously Looking for Freedom's been playing in my head ever since. But when you come, and it's very clearly set in the forest, isn't it, just as it's described, the stadium, and you come round the corner, the first thing I thought when I saw the front of the stadium was Millenthor. I thought St. Pauli, and I guess there's a little bit of a parallel there, isn't it, because Union's part of a sort of counterculture, really, which I guess is speaking to more and more fans in the modern times.
I mean, it's obviously difficult for me to sort of explain what Orion was like when the wall was up, because I didn't live through it, I didn't experience it.
Well, you weren't born, were you?
Yeah, exactly. But the impression I get is that it wasn't like the club was, you know, explicitly trying to be resistance. You know, it wasn't trying to, you know, be against the state. But I think if you were someone who was young, quite curious, into maybe things that were not normal for East Germany, then you'd probably go and watch Union, because it was a different way of expressing that sort of freedom, that kind of sort of wildness, let's say. It's a good comparison to St. Pauli. I mean, obviously, politically, the two clubs, you know, Union is not a political club, but people don't come to the games and are there for politics. But I think what's really interesting about the two is, I think what you have is like two interesting clubs, but I think the fans of both clubs are like way more important to the club than any other club. Do you know what I mean? I think St. Pauli fans, Union fans, I think it goes way beyond just coming up for 90 minutes. You see the way that the fans here are so engaged in everything the club does.
They're participants, they're not just spectators.
Yeah, that's a good word, participants, yeah, exactly. If you're a fan of, I don't know, Augsburg or Nuremberg or whatever, this day-to-day engagement with the club doesn't really exist. I mean, fans...
The club wouldn't exist without those supporters.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it doesn't really have to be something that exists now every day, but like, you know, builders and joiners and plumbers all donating all their time to build their own stadium, how can it not be the clubs, you know? How can it not be the fans being something that's way more important than just turning up for a match day?
So you've been working here for over 2 years now, and obviously expectations have changed. The journey of the club has changed. You look back to those early days when you first started working here, and could you ever expected this, and what did you expect?
I was told it was going to happen, and then in the first season we almost got relegated to the third division, so I was kind of worried that it wasn't going to work out. I mean, I've seen a lot of things going to games, I've experienced a lot of things, but the experience of the club getting promoted, that playoff game, was something that I don't think really will be topped. And we made such a hard job of it. We went like 6 games without winning, and you go to Stuttgart and it's like, oh my god, we've got no chance in the playoffs. We just missed the automatic promotion.
Because the team that's third in the Bundesliga's fight very rarely gets promoted through the relegation promotion playoff.
I think it might have been 2 or 3 in the last maybe 15 years that had gone promoted. And the last game at home was just so nerve-wracking. Like, you're going to I think Union held their own for like 80 minutes, and then it was just like backs to the wall, panic stations. But the scenes that day were just incredible. I mean, people around you were crying. I mean, I'm not exaggerating that. People around you were just crying because it was such an incredible thing. I don't think I expected it, but I think the club isn't going about its business like it's wanting to be a second Bundesliga club. The club's going about its business like it wants to be a Bundesliga club. The club's target by, I think, 2021 or something, is to be one of the top 20 teams in Germany established. It's going to have a bigger stadium. It's going to have a training academy. So I think internally the ambitions of the club are probably a lot higher than what it is externally.
But of course, thinking towards the future and thinking we want to do those things and actually experiencing them and carrying them out is a different thing, isn't it? I mean, it's like you said, like going to Bayern last week, the first win of the season being against Dortmund. I mean, there must be, like, it feels to me, looking from the outside, for you there must be like jaw-dropping moments almost every week at the moment.
Yeah, there is. And the crazy thing is that when we play at the Alte Försterei, the home stadium, we have a chance against anyone. Like, it's such an odd thing in football that, you know, you think Borussia Dortmund, you look at the players they have, I think they lined up with like Sancho, Royce and Brandt all on the same team. Alcacer was playing also, and you're thinking, how is this team not winning 3 or 4-0? But football is weird, you know, and you have these moments also against Freiburg, who I think up until that point were one of the best teams in the league. I think they were top 6 at this point. Marius Bülter scores from 35 yards, and all of a sudden the atmosphere changes, and it's a totally different game. And I think that's the kind of... I would probably compare it to every game being a cup tie, essentially. That Union is probably not going into every game thinking we're the favourites to win, or we are favoured against better opposition, but when push comes to shove, they can hold their own. And I think that's probably what's going to be their saving grace at the end of the day. Or our saving grace, I should say.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, our saving grace at the end of the day. Because away games, it's really hard going into a lot of these games. Bundesliga this year has actually a lot of teams who are title contenders. You know, this year, I think above all else, in the last maybe 10 years, there's five or six teams that are playing really good football. Leipzig, Gladbach, Wolfsburg, Bayern, Dortmund. Yeah, and then you add in Schalke and Frankfurt and Cologne and all these teams. I mean, it's really hard to expect Union to go to these places and get results. And what's also interesting, and I think it says a lot about the Union mentality, is that the fans will support their team regardless of the result. So even if worst comes to the worst, Union got relegated.
Something we noticed on the opening day, wasn't it, against Leipzig?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something that I'm not sure will be a particularly sad moment, because Union fans will look at it as, okay, well, if you look at the last 30 years of Union history, how many setbacks, how many barriers, how many obstacles that have been in their way, and yet they've overcome it. And I think even if they went down, perhaps even with a bigger stadium next time, they would come back up a much stronger team. And I think now the experience of just being in those big sort of high pressure moments is quite a good thing.
When it comes to projecting that personality internationally, you're part of that. As soon as the game starts today, you'll be a part of that. And that's something that Bundesliga clubs do very well, isn't it? Sort of they're not faceless. You don't get the impression that it's just a corporate voice. I mean, what sort of response have you felt in the English-speaking world to Union, not just this season, but during the promotion push last season?
Even last season in the second Bundesliga, we still had a lot of interest from the UK. So it wasn't just like, yeah, we get promoted and all of a sudden this interest comes organically. We were getting that interest anyway. We have, I think it might be something like 100, 110 members outside of Germany. So it's not just even the UK. We're getting people from Denmark, from Sweden, Finland, every week. And I always wonder, what is it that possesses people to spend so much money, so much time to travel across Europe to go and watch a team that they are not associated by because of their locality or because of their father or mother or whatever. And I think it's really hard to explain the fact that you come here, it's the same people, it's the same sort of atmosphere every game, people drink in the same pubs. Tradition is the word I'd probably use, but I think it's just more of a community, and people feel really part of that. I think it's a really underrated thing that a lot of clubs, you know, are obviously marketing internationally, and it's now a digital experience, it's now about TV, it's now about not really having that personal connection. But here, that's completely different. We have a totally different mentality on that. You know, the players are always happy to sign autographs. We have open training sessions where, you know, the players will spend, you know, half an hour signing autographs. On the training camps, the fans and the players will drink and eat together. They'll have karaoke together. It's such a bizarre thing. But I think for a lot of people probably in the UK, they're looking at it thinking, oh, I wish my club was like that. And I don't want to say that German football is better than the UK, but I do feel that Union does sort of represent the kind of values that British football, and particularly lower league British football, used to stand for quite a long time ago.
When the teams do finally come out at 6:30 local time today, how do you think it'll feel?
I mean, for me, I'll be relaxed. I mean, I'm always relaxed when it comes to the games.
That's the spirit.
I know, yeah.
You'll be the only one, obviously.
Yeah, I know. I'm the Scrooge when it comes to that sort of thing. But it does feel like, if even being around the stadium now, the stadium being open so much earlier than normal. Like, we normally would open the stadium like an hour and a half before kickoff. The stadium's been open since 4 o'clock. People have been coming in, and the stadium will be full by the time the players come out for the warm-ups. So it's going to be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see if it's going to pass off without any issues or how that's going to work out. But I mean, any Union home game is a special experience, and hopefully it's 3 points this time, because we've had a couple of near misses in the last few months. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Die genau da weitermachen, wo Mosti, wo Christian Quiring, wo Adam Nemitz, wo Simon Terodde und wo Thorsten Matuschka aufgehört haben vor ein paar Jahren. Und wir wollen hier, kommt die Mannschaftsaufstellung des ersten FC Union Berlin. Im Tor unsere Nummer 1, Rafa Gikiewicz. Unsere Nummer 3 heißt Nevin Subotic. Mit der Nummer 5, Marvin Friedrich. Unsere Nummer 10 ist Sebastian Andersson. Die Nummer 15, Marius Bülter. Mit der Nummer 25, Christopher Lenz. Unsere Nummer 28 ist der Captain Christopher Trimmel. Mit der Nummer 30, Robert Andrich. Unsere Nummer 31 heißt Kevin Schlotterbeck. Und die Nummer 32 ist Markus Ingwertsen. Mit der Nummer 34 Christian Gentner. Auf der Bank mit der Nummer 35 Moritz Nikolas. Unsere Nummer 6 heißt Julian Eliasson. Mit der Nummer 8 Joshua Mees. Mit der Nummer 9 Sebastian Polter. Unsere Nummer 11 ist Anthony Uta. Mit der Nummer 18 Nikolai Rapp. Die Nummer 23 ist Felix Groß. Und mit der Nummer 24 Manuel Schmiedebach. Unsere Nummer 27 heißt Geraldo Becker. Und unser Trainer ist Urs Fischer. Auf geht's und niemals vergessen!
Direkter Hinweis an den Gästeblock: Das Abbrennen pyrotechnischer Erzeugnisse ist im Stadion einer alten Försterei nicht gestattet. Bitte unterlasst das, ihr gefährdet euch und die Austragung des Spiels. Thank you.
Oh, that couldn't have been much closer for Union. Off the post. Though it looks like it was maybe offside anyway. Time and no score, which is pretty normal because it was kind of tense, not a lot of chances, but I really do want to see that manual scoreboard working. Interested to see how it works. It looks rather precarious that the Manners might have to lurch out the window to change the score. Obviously I don't want to see any injuries, but yeah, keen to see it work at first hand.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Gleich nochmal ein Hinweis an den Gästeblock. Auch da gilt das bitte unterlasst das Abbrennen pyrotechnischer Erzeugnisse. Das ist im Stadion einer alten Försterei nicht gestattet.
The announcer taking it in turns to tell off the home fans and the away fans for pyro. Just the smell of smoke and the sight of smoke all over the pitch. Stop the game for a second.
Das ist nicht euer Ernst, oder? Pyro aufs Spielfeld. Mann, Mann, Mann. Nochmal der Hinweis an den Gästeblock. Das Abbrennen pyrotechnischer Erzeugnisse ist nicht gestattet. Ihr gefährdet euch. Und die Austragung des Spiels und die Gesundheit aller Spieler auf dem Platz. Bitte unterlasst das.
Can very little on the pitch at the moment. The game has stopped. It looks as if Deniz Aitekin might be taking the players off for a little minute. Certainly taking the opportunity to stop and have a drink. But yeah, visibility is very poor in front of the Union goal. First time either of these teams have got up ahead of steam, really. Union just starting to push in these last couple of minutes. When Hertha do get the ball out, they're coming straight back at them. Extra bit of pace in the field as well. As it's time for Sebastian Polter to come on. The feeling that Union want to win this game, but maybe they don't have the edge to do so, and maybe he can provide it. Referee's pointed to the spot. He's going miles over the top from Gentner. His teammates wanted him to cross it in. Seemed to get taken down as the ball went over. Beata's very unhappy. Aitken obviously is tapping his ear. So we'll see if it really is a penalty. They had two at Bayern last week. Union scored one, missed one. Is waiting to take the pressure pen of all pressure pens, not knowing whether it's going to be a pen or not. And Itakin's going over to have a look. It is a pen. So now, as we said, Poulter has had to wait, I know, three and a half minutes to take this. He's been standing on his own, just holding the ball for that time. And that's him versus Jarstein. The goalkeeper's down way, way deep into stoppage time. His teammates just wanted to get up just so they can see the match out. There can't be long left now.
I think some players that had heavy legs, of course, you know, it's not easy to play 120 minutes, but yeah, I don't think it is an excuse, you know. For us, we're all here, we work hard, we came here with the ambition to win the game and to play well, you know, and we lost the game and we didn't play well, you know, so for us it's a hard one to take.
How difficult were the conditions? You had a very hostile crowd, of course, and you had a few stoppages to the game, which kind of helped your rhythm.
Yeah, well, I think as a football player, you know, when it comes to the atmosphere, of course, the atmosphere was good, but it was good for us to play, you know. We cannot take it as an excuse we cannot say that we didn't play well because of the atmosphere. You know, that's not the case. Then, yeah, about the stoppage time, I mean, because of all the stuff on the pitch, that can happen, you know. Neither I don't think that's the reason either, you know. I think when it comes to the football plan and what we've done, we haven't played well, you know, and that's it, you know.
I was hoping to meet some Hertha fans afterwards to get their reaction. It was quite a police operation to get them to leave separately, so I wasn't able to meet up with them outside First Right as I wanted to or as they wanted to. So instead, Marcel, who was here at the game in the away end, has very, very kindly WhatsApp voice messaged me in a little nod to our bedfellow, Seth Meals. Thinking of you, Sam.
So the beginning of the week, I was awaiting this game. Having in my mind that we have the Hard Cup game on Wednesday against Dynamo, which took all power from the team today, but that's another thing. So from yesterday on, so Friday, I was counting the hours until this game because that's the game I was waiting for all the time. And the atmosphere on the stands today was good, excluding the rockets, which I don't understand, which I don't really like. Pyrotechnic is okay, as long as it stays in the stands itself. In the first half time, it was a good start. In the second half time, it gone better. I can understand everything. Everyone that is disappointed about the game itself. But at least I think the atmosphere was more or less great. We did well against the atmosphere that Union gave us. At least it was a good performance from both sides on.
So how was your day?
It was a perfect day. Woke up in the morning, it was still sunshine in Berlin, but a little warmer than the last days. Still it is. To play Bundesliga at all is quite exciting. To play the derby in Berlin is really big. It was already in the second tier. Mm. And I've been here already about 12, because it's like, you can't sit at home and just wait for the match to come. Yeah, so just went here to do the last stuff to organize around the match, if you win it in the end, then it's all worth it. So I feel very good today.
So you were saying you got a taste for it in Bundesliga 2. Did playing those games in the second tier, which were obviously huge occasions for, I guess, for Hertha as well, did that make you want to come up to the top flight and face them here even more?
Absolutely, because it's like for us it's a much better situation if it's our own achievement. Yeah. You know, because we performed pretty good in the second tier, so yeah, we got promoted and we got the derby. It's better than waiting for someone else to perform badly and coming down. And that feels much, much better. It was already great in the second tier, of course, because all the fixtures before had been like friendly or testing matches and stuff like that. So to be in the same competition is good, and to be in the best competition is really exciting.
So what was the atmosphere like around the staff this week? Not the players, but the staff, the people who you work with day to day. What was the vibe you got as the week went on?
It's like that, you know, the players are professional football players, and Yeah, the connection is pretty good here, but for most of the employees, it's even more. The players have to be a great heart on a match day, but they have to be cool in the head as well. We as employees, of course, we have to do our job on the match day, but it's like mostly all of us here are fans as well. So we've been really, really on the way this week, looking forward to the kickoff time, you know, everyone was somehow, you know, kind of it was somehow drizzling, you know. We're having daily lunch together, so, and you could feel it the whole week. Okay, this is gonna be special this Saturday, and yeah, it feels now really good. I'm looking forward to who's coming on Monday.
Well, we're definitely having Sunday off, right?
Yeah. Of course. We will have Sunday off, except my media team. We have to do the very nice job to tell about all this, which is really nice. But everyone else is going to have a Sunday off. I guess it's going to be a long night in Copenhagen anyway. So everyone's going out tonight and celebrating this derby win. Yeah.
Well, like you said, everyone was really ready for it. I mean, I came to the stadium a couple of hours before, and there's a huge queue of people just waiting to get in, like tapping their watches.
Exactly. And even without selling beer today, you know, due to security reasons, it was like alcohol-free beer today. Anyway, we open 2 hours to kick off, and everyone showed up like, okay, 2.5 or 3 hours before. So maybe because of the traffic situation around the stadium, because you had two big fan parties marching to the stadium, and everyone's from Berlin today, so no one else just arriving an hour before. Everyone's coming around, so you make sure you're in the right in time.
Now, I know fans in Germany are largely not huge supporters of VAR, especially in the stadium, but in this very situation, did add to the tension. It did add to the drama a little bit, didn't it?
I know. But it's the nice thing, you know. Our own fan scene is clearly positioning themselves against the VAR
because of the experience it provides in the stadium.
Yeah, exactly. And they still do. Even if we got so far, many decisions for us.
Yeah.
So even when we got the penalty in Munich out of the blue, no one had seen anything, you know, and you get a penalty, they still put up their banner that they are against that. So that it's nice to see that they're, you know.
It's on principle. It's not biased towards your team.
Exactly. It's a principle. It's not your personal best that you put in focus only, but the whole football experience. So that's most important thing, especially in the stadium, because it's always an interruption and everyone's confused, like, okay, what's going on now, you know. It was adding the cherry on the cake today.
You could tell when Sebastian Polter was on the touchline. He was ready. He was leaning into the pitch before he was allowed on, wasn't he?
I know, absolutely. He's the great guy. He's the type of guy who wants to carry the world on his shoulders, you know. Yeah. And if you see him, he's a giant man, you know, massive legs and arms and all that stuff. So, I like him doing that, you know. And he's not afraid of anything. He's got a hard season so far because he didn't start yet in the starting 11. So it's hard for him. He loves the club. He loves the people here, and he wants to put in whatever he can. And still, he has to prove himself. Has to wait. Has to be patient. He had to be patient today. But he came on the pitch. He was on fire straight away. His first situation was like, you know, taking the long ball. Running to the corner, saving it, and then he takes it, and even if the keeper has the right corner, his shot was like powerful, so you could keep it. Yeah.
this season been emotionally for you guys? Because obviously the first game against Leipzig, where you had all the pictures of the departed, that was pretty emotional.
Yeah.
And then week after week after week, you have the win over Dortmund. Then you have the first trip to Bayern, and yeah. you give them a game.
Yeah.
And then you have this. How do you cope?
Oh, that's a good question. If we focus on everything around, it was great from the very first moment. You know, you mentioned that Leipzig game. I guess for the players on the pitch, it was all too much. It was the very first Bundesliga match. Yeah. It was the protest against the Leipzig structure. It was the remembrance of the dead Union fans with the pictures. It was all too much. And then we got that 0-4 defeat against Leipzig, and actually after this match I thought, oh my god, I hope it's not going to be like this every week.
Yeah,
because it looked like a different kind of sports, you know. But then it was very helpful to go straight away to Augsburg. Was the second match, and you met a team where I would say like, ah, okay, they're somehow the same like us. You know, it's not like
worlds apart.
Yeah, not worlds apart. Against Leipzig, it was worlds apart. So we took a point from Augsburg. Then we beat Dortmund on a very glorious night. So,
yeah.
And then we had four defeats in a row. So after the Dortmund win, we didn't get a point in not one single point in the whole month of September, and we still kept calm, you know, because it was like we've all been very focused on the point that we always said, okay, we want to qualify for the hardest competition in German football, and we did, and we celebrated that like there's no tomorrow. But tomorrow came. We yeah. prepared for this season, and we started, and now we see the hardest competition in German football is pretty hard.
Yeah.
No surprise. Yeah. So we have to take it, you know. What we see is that the team learns a lot very quickly, and we got a head coach with Urs Fischer. I don't know. He's the person that keeps everything together, and he's got a plan. Mm. You see that on the pitch now. Yeah. And for today's match, it was like I never had the feeling we will lose it. I already thought we might not win it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had missed then three very important points, but I never had the feeling that we lose it, because it was we controlled the match, you know. So that feels good, even the you know, to reach the third round in the cup.
Yeah.
So in an away game against the third in the table
for the first time in ages.
Yeah. So very good now. Yeah. And it's like, all right, we are in the league, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Feels good.
So, how do you and the other staff keep alive the spirit of the club? Because now you're in a more commercial setting than before. People all over the world, like fans who maybe only know Bayern and Dortmund and a couple more teams, they're sitting in their living rooms in India, in Australia, in England, in Spain, watching Union Berlin games. Yeah. So how do you keep the spirit of the club alive when you're in that new setting?
Well, most important thing is we ourselves are the same persons like last year or the years
sure.
before. So this is important, because we always told ourselves, if we don't change, we all won't change, you know. And it's like, yeah, of course, we see the interest, the media coverage from all over the world, which is nice, because what we do is we try to live our idea of football.
Even share your passions and share your values to a wider audience.
We live our idea of football in modern football surroundings. Mm. What we see is the Bundesliga itself does not come to us and say, okay, right, nice that you are here now, but you have to do this, this, and that. Mm. They come here and say, okay, we need 10 more camera positions. All right, that's no problem. So, but they don't say, okay, play this music, wave that flag, or anything like that. So what we experience that we are welcome with our unique history and presence.
Yes.
And we actually enjoy that we can show the world our way of football. We don't say, we don't go around like, listen, it's the only way. It's our way. Yes. We don't mind if someone else finds another way. Okay, that's cool. But it's our way. If you like it, nice. Take a look.
Finally, how does today compare with Stuttgart a couple of months ago?
Well, Stuttgart was a pressure. It was really a pressure because from after the away game when we had
a bigger pressure than this.
Yes, yeah. Because from the kickoff on, there was something to lose because we had the
because you had the away goal.
We had the away goals. It was 2-2 away, so you have kickoff. It's 0-0, so you are in the Bundesliga, yeah. And any crooked ball in the very last moment could have been the end of our dreams. So that was high pressure. For the derby, you know, in the last weeks or in the last days, there have been lots of stories about, is it artificial? Is it a tradition? No, it's not. We've been friends 30 years ago. Now it's kind of a rivalry. In the end, you see, even today, both sides do not care too much about each other. It's great to win it, and it feels really good tonight, yeah? But in the end, it was more important to reach the Bundesliga. We would have enjoyed the Bundesliga even if Hertha wasn't in there, you know? So Stuttgart was much more pressure because we had to defend from the first minute on that we don't lose the Bundesliga. Today, it was like, all right, you guys on the pitch, you could be the first ones to win a derby against Hertha BSC in a competition, you know? And the derbies before, we had a draw and a defeat at home, and we had a draw and a win away. So there was something left, and the guys did it today.
Well, congratulations. Go and get yourself a beer.
Yeah, thank you very much. I will do now.
Had the very unusual sight of the party obviously kicking off at Union, the poor old Gerardo De Rosen coming out of presumably doping control as all his other teammates have left already, and having a walk through Cool and the Gang on the way to the car. Such is derby defeat.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.